Hey, good morning. It's Pastor Lenny from New Life Church, and it is Friday. This week zipped by. And before we begin, I just want to let you know once again how much I love you and I appreciate you. If you're in the area on Sunday, come visit. Come and visit us at New Life Church. No evil will befall in that building. No plague will enter that building. Not allowed. But if you desire, we have masks, we have disinfectant, we have the tool that measures your temperature, just so that you can feel comfortable and safe. But if you're in the Fishkill area, come and visit us. We have great worship, and the Holy Spirit always brings a timely message. So here we are in Philippians chapter 2, and depending upon what translation you have, it seems like after, you know, Paul lets us know that he who began the good work in us, he will complete it. After Paul lets us know that the only way to see ourselves is to see Christ as he is. If you see Christ as he is, and you're seeing yourself. Whew, wow. Right there, that's a message. That's a powerful thought. If you see Christ as he is, you will see yourself as you are. Jesus Christ is the blueprint of our design. Jesus Christ, the express image of the Father. But the Father made us into the express image of his Son, who's the express image of the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Don't ever forget it. Because of God's foreknowing, because of his foreknowing, he determined that we would be conformed into the exact image, likeness, duplicate copy of his Son, Jesus Christ, the firstborn amongst many brethren. Beautiful verse. And Romans 8, 30. For whom God called, and that's you and I, he justified us. He justified us with his righteousness. He made us righteous with his righteousness. And those he justified and made righteous, he glorified. This is powerful. This is why John chapter 1, verse 12 says, to as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them God the Father gave the right to be his children, the ability to be his children, the authority to be his children, the power to be his children, who were born not of flesh, not of man or the will of man, but who were born of God, right? Just by believing. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things new have come. So Paul lets us know this. He lets us know, you know, and here, have this the same mind that Christ had. Why? Well, because Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, when we studied that chapter from our Galatians study, we found out that as a son of God, at born again, God sends the Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of his Son. Who? To dwell right there. Romans chapter 8 tells us that if we are truly sons of God, we are led by the Spirit. And if you're not led by the Spirit, then you're no son of God. You know, Paul tells us that it's in Jesus we live, move, and have our being. It's in him. It's in him. It's through him. It's by him. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I was crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ which liveth in me. So, you know, as new creations, new creation realities, you know, you have to ask yourself a question. Well, remember Paul in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 10. I have not received the grace of God in vain. I am what I am by his grace, and I have not received his grace in vain. I am what I am because of his grace, and I have not received his grace in vain. But that by that grace, I labored more than the rest, more than all. But it wasn't me. It was grace in me. So remember, grace is equal to Jesus. It's always Jesus, right? For by Jesus are we made whole. He persuades. It's his faith that persuades. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's a gift, not of works. There's no boasting here. So at born again, Paul has already established the fact that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, it tells how we've been united with him. We were united with him. We were united with him at his death, at his burial, as his resurrection. We were united to him, raised from the dead, newness of life. We were united with him in resurrection life. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about the same thing. How while we were yet dead in our sins, God quickened us together with Christ. There, Paul's saying the same things. Quickened us together with Christ, right? And then he co-seated us with Christ in the heavenlies at the throne room, because we're one. We're not two anymore. We're one. And that's a concept we have to come to grips with. We have to gain intimate knowledge of, you know, because when it says, you know, you take authority, you speak. Well, wait a second. I guess I can speak because I have authority. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. But wait a second. But I'm one with Christ. So if I'm one with Christ, who's doing the speaking? Is it me doing the speaking? Or is it Christ doing the speaking? Yes. We're doing the speaking because we're one. So when you're speaking, Christ's speaking. When Christ's speaking, you're speaking. I know. Listen, we are one. We are united. We are joined. We are one spirit. And so Paul laid this out in chapter 1 and halfway through chapter 2. Continue with that. And so now we get to the portion of Scripture where it's like certain translations turn it into like work. Instead of being led by the Spirit, instead of being a work of grace, you know, now it's all about us. And I'm going to read these verses in a couple of translations, okay? So you can see what we're talking about. So we're on verse 14. We'll read a couple of verses, a few verses. So verse 14 of chapter 2, and this is the King James Version. It tells us to do all things. You do all things without murmurings and disputes, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, I want you to understand something. We mention this time and time again, but it is vitally important. Make sure you have correct filters in place, so then you could read the Word of God and immediately understand if it was properly translated, perhaps improperly translated, if it's indicating a work, or if it's indicating the gift of grace. And when you have right filters in place, it will help you identify and spot, you know, inaccuracies. Now, I didn't break down the Greek, I should have, but just looking at it, knowing what we know. Do all things without murmurings and disputes. First of all, if you have the Spirit of God's Son in you, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and the Spirit of God is leading you, the Spirit of Christ in you, which is love and peace and patience and goodness, and can only do good, and you're led by that Spirit, you will not have to worry about doing, because the Spirit of grace will do. And you see, that's why it's so important to become transformed in our thinking, in our mind, in our belief system. The whole thing about the word repentance, where we see the word repentance, It means a change, a changing of the mind, a shifting of the mind, a changing of directions. And usually the word is being pronounced to Jews. Even when Peter in the book of Acts is saying, you know, talking about people about repenting, and most of the writings, it's addressing Jews specifically, because they now have to change their way of thinking. Their way and mode of thinking was Moses, was the law, was that grouping of rules and regulations and laws that were contrary to us, that were against us. But their thinking was Moses. Their thinking was the law. Their thinking was adherence to the law. Now all of a sudden, it's time to repent, which is metanoia, which means it's time for a shifting of the thinking, a shifting of the mind, a shifting of direction. And what is that shifting of direction? It's no more about the law. That's waxed away. It's been annulled. Now it's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about what you do. It's not about your performance. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's about his performance. Righteousness through faith. Righteousness by believing. And this is why in Romans chapter 10, he starts, you know, he talks about, you know, my brethren, man, they were zealous. They were zealous for God, right? But their zealousness was in error. Their zealousness was not the truth, was not the zealousness of God. It was because it was in seeking righteousness through the law. They could never, as zealous as they were, achieve righteousness of God. Because righteousness of God comes through believing and comes through faith. And this is why Romans chapter 10, verse 4, it goes on to say, after it talks about they're not attaining to the righteousness of God, even in their zealousness for the law. Because verse 4 of Romans chapter 10 says, Christ is the end. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. That's powerful. It's the end. The end of the law. The end of the law for righteousness. Because you could not achieve righteousness under the law. The end of the law for righteousness. Christ is the end. Why? Because now Christ, faith in him, just live by faith in him, and we attain the true righteousness of God. So, of course, this do all things, in the Passion Translation, it reads, live a cheerful life. So in light of everything I've said, so live a cheerful life. I like that better. I do like that better. A cheerful life that doesn't complain, a cheerful life that doesn't cause divisions, a cheerful life and a life, you know, with the humility of Christ, because it's leading and guiding you, right? It doesn't cause divisions. It doesn't cause stress. It doesn't bring about anxieties. This is how to say it better. Fruits of righteousness, fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, meekness, goodness, the Spirit, which is within, which is what leads, which is what empowers, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus. So that's a better way to say it. Because as you live out your Christness, as Christ lives out his Christness through you, you see, we're one. We're not two, we're one. Is it you? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Is it you? Yes. So as you're living out life as led by the Spirit, as you're living life out, because of your new nature as a child of God, you're going to live a cheerful life. And there'll be no complaining. There'll be no divisive words. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. You have the life of Christ in you. You have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of grace leading you. There'll be no divisions. There'll be no strife. There'll be no stress. And I'll tell you what. More people who go about, you know, not understanding this, cause divisions, cause stress, cause strife amongst the brethren. Why? Because it's not about Christ. It's not about oneness. It's not about his spirit. It's about, usually it's about the opposite. And if it's the opposite, it's you. It's them. It becomes their doing. It becomes their work. It becomes their exaltation. You know, one of the things I do in at New Life Church, and I suspect that, and I anticipate, and I expect that we're going to grow, because God is sending people to hear this grace message, and God is sending people to the house of healing where they'll be healed. But I'll ask, listen, does anybody have any comments? Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Does anybody have a question? Even when I'm dealing with you in the mornings, listen, please. You know, you don't go out there and say, oh, Pastor Lenny says this and Pastor Lenny says that. Oh, he's, you know, talk to me. You know, text me. Bring your questions. Perhaps there was a miscommunication. Perhaps there was a misunderstanding. You know? But the Spirit of Christ, which is within us, the mind of Christ, have this attitude of Christ, which Paul talked about earlier in the chapter, which we've gone over, which we've studied, is a mind that is about peace and it's about cheerfulness. There's no complaining. There's no murmuring. There's no grumbling. There's peace. There's long-suffering. There's love. There's joy. There's meekness. There's gentleness. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise the Lord. You know? Listen, sometimes my soul can get it mixed up. But that's why we have each other. We're in this together. We're in this grace walk together. We've not arrived, but our ships are going in the right direction. Amen? Amen. So it goes on to say that you may be blameless and harmless. So that you may be blameless and harmless. Wait a second. We've learned all this time that we are already blameless. That we are already holy. So that we may be the sons of God without rebuke. Now that part is true. In Christ, there's no condemnation. So we're without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, the Passion Translation says it a little bit different, and I like it a little bit better. And it says, for then you will be seen as innocent. Then you will be seen as faultless. Then you will be seen as pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. So in other words, as you live out your life, as Christ lives out your life, one spirit with the Lord, through him, in him, with him, the Spirit of God's Son, led by the Spirit, you're going to live such a cheerful life, such a positive life, a life without complaining. A life that doesn't create divisions. And people are going to look and see your testimony. They're going to see your innocence because of Christ. They're going to see your faultless because of Christ. They're going to see your blameless because of Christ. Even though we live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture, they will look at us and they will see the light of Christ. This is what Paul is saying. This is powerful. And it goes on to say, for you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, offering them the words of eternal life. Paul goes on to say, I haven't labored among you for nothing. I know it. He's so confident. Remember, he said in verse, I'm confident that he who began a good work will complete it. So where it says, verse 16, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, Paul did, because he hasn't received the grace of God in vain. I like the way it says it in the Passion Translation better. Offering them the words of eternal life. I haven't labored among you for nothing. See, Paul is speaking positively. This is how Paul speaks. If Paul's speaking negatively, it's always in reference to the former life, the previous life. He'll use words like, remember, you know, that's what used to be. That's how you used to live. Not anymore, because you're a new creation and you're in Christ and you're led by Christ and you're led by the Spirit. So he's saying, I haven't labored among you for nothing, for your lives are the fruit of my ministry. This is what Paul is really saying. Your lives are the fruit of my ministry. He's expressing cheerfulness. He's expressing thankfulness. He's doing the very thing that he exhorts them to do. You are the fruit of my ministry and will be my glorious boasting at the unveiling of Christ. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. The Philippian church, their lives will be his reward when they're before the Christ, at the unveiling of Christ, as Christ is unveiled in their lives. See, as Christ within now is without, is exuding from within, exuding out. It's in and it's manifesting out. All right, that unveiling of the Christ is going to be Paul's reward. The unveiling of Christ in us brings pleasure to the Father. The unveiling of Christ in us gives glory and praise and honor to Jesus. The unveiling of Christ in us gives worship and praise and thankfulness to the Holy Spirit. And that unveiling only happens by the mind renewal and by looking at the mirror and seeing Christ, believing you're looking at your own reflection, and then having the Holy Spirit make it a reality. Hallelujah. That's why where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So this is Pastor Lenny. I hope you enjoyed these few verses. Have a wonderful weekend. Be on the lookout for us on Sunday if you can't come and be with us in person. I'm sure the Holy Spirit is going to have a great word. And you'll all be blessed by it. Pastor Lenny saying, I love you. Walk in the blessings.